Revelation 1. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is... Mike, would you come up here and read? The Lord showed me that we should read every chapter of this. And there's a blessing if we hear it and we listen to it and we obey it, right? So let's say, I want that blessing. Hold your hand up if you want to. First off, do you believe that there's a blessing in listening to the book of Revelation being read? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Then hold your hand up high. I believe that. You want that. Keep your hand up. I want it. I want it. I want it.
We need it, Lord. We need it. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see!" And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see!" Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see!" So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see!" So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us! Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb! For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?"
Steve Hill used to say that a loving Savior will one day be a severe judge. And as he read this, this is God's wrath being poured out. God loves us so much, he doesn't want that to befall anyone. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I feel like I need to tell y'all something. I seek the Lord every week about what I'm to say to you, and I know I'm not a great orator. I'm not a great The important thing, though, is that you realize that you're getting the Word of God. It's not about the one that presents it. It's about what's being presented, okay? So I just, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, pour into us, Lord. Lord, these deep, deep wells we were singing about, we thank you for all the goodness in them, God. We thank you for the presence. We thank you for the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. But we thank you for the Word of God that is sharper and mighty and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Let's just say together, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and nothing that was made was made without Him. That's pretty all-inclusive, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. I'm going to go fast. You want to say it with me? For we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's say it again. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's say it again. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Do we? Do we? I'm speaking to me. Faith comes by, and this is gets so wore out, but it's so true. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say it again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you listen to your, you know, podcasts or good, there's so much good stuff you can listen to anymore. Be careful what you're listening to. There's a lot of deception. There's a lot of false teaching out there. Check me, because I don't, you know, I could lead you astray just as quick as anybody could. Be sure. Be sure, okay? Say it again. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's like when God was speaking through Jenny, she's saying, there's angels. There's angels all about this place. Now, I praise God. I have seen the image. I've seen I have seen what I believe was angels before, and they were over before this wall was here even, and they were lined up on that wall, and they were tall as that vent pipe up there. That's how big they were. They were big, mighty, warring angels. They weren't little Cupid doll things, you know. They were ready for war, and they had swords. And I saw one time at Faith Victory Center, and he had a sword back here, and he was unsheathing it. Okay, is that a proper word? He was pulling it out of its sheath. So there's a saying, a very old saying. When I was even a young man, they said it, but the word was seeing is believing. It's a worldly saying because that's not lining up with what we just read, is it? Seeing is believing. No, believing is seeing. Maybe God will pull back the veil for you and allow you to see something. Maybe not. You can't base your Christian walk on, oh, I wish I could, like everybody, you know, like so-and-so got to see God, got to see Jesus, got to, praise God for that. But that's not my salvation. That is not my faith. My faith is walking with the Lord, walking in His precepts, right? John 20, verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Of course, after he'd been in the tomb and he raised from the dead, Thomas said, I will not believe unless I can touch his side, right? But Jesus went on and he said, blessed. Are those who have not seen, yet have believed. Do you believe you're blessed? When you came to Jesus, did you come to Jesus because he appeared to you? Now, he may have. It happens all the time. In Muslim countries, they'll get a revelation like that. But he came to me through the preaching of the word, through an evangelist. And something inside of me was like, this is real. This is so real, I don't want it. You know, this is so real, I don't want to march up there and give my life away to. I believed it, praise God. I believed it every bit. But giving your life away, when you've made that step, see, that's the problem. A lot of people never make the step of giving their life away. They want to keep it, or they want to keep part of it. And God, you know, there was a thing called rooms in my life. Y'all probably heard that. And pretty neat little. But do you believe that verse? You are blessed when you believe without seeing. You really believe that? You're blessed. You are blessed because you are born again without ever seeing Jesus. You are blessed. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's something about hearing the word of God. Reading the word of God is wonderful, but if I were you out loud, I tell you what, get you one of these. In your, man, you can put on your phone, you can pull up 40 versions of the Bible, and you can listen to it, and you can read along with it as you listen to it, and that's a powerful, powerful thing. How many of y'all know that your eyes can deceive you? Okay, the sun this morning, I didn't see the sun rise. Maybe y'all did. The sun rises in the east, and this afternoon, we'll see it go down in the west. And for thousands and thousands of years, people that are much smarter than you and me, or me anyway, scientists, scholars, they believe that the sun went around the earth. And you go, that's stupid. No, it wasn't stupid. It made perfect sense. They watched it come up in the east and go down in the west. So it looked like the sun, by sight, it looked like the sun was orbiting the earth. They weren't stupid. They were going by what they saw. So how easily we can be deceived. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they will believe the lie. So Satan is in the business of helping you see things that he wants you to see. Does that make sense? Don't have to make sense. It's the truth. Revelation 13:13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceived those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So in the last days, during the tribulation, Satan, through the Antichrist or the beast or the false prophet, will call down lying signs and wonders, call fire down from heaven, do all kinds of miraculous signs, raise from the dead. So what you see is not always what you get. So we should always go by how Jesus handled lying signs and wonders, right? That's how we should go. So when he had fasted, he got baptized. Praise God. The glory of God come down. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When you started out, you felt the presence of God. You felt the power of God. You felt forgiven. You felt all the goodness of God, didn't you? You were water baptized. Hopefully you were. If not, you need to get water baptized. It was a commandment of Jesus. But Jesus, then when it was driven into the wilderness by what? The devil? No. The Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness. Been in the wilderness yet? Yet? You will. Ooh, that's a bad report. No, man, if you live long enough, that's just the truth. And when you got people like Job's friends looking at you, well, you must have done that, you know, shut up. Shut up. It's life on planet Earth. We will go through tribulations. We will go through trials. So what did Jesus see when Satan tempted him? I never thought about this before. You just read it and kind of, Satan showed him a rock, and then he showed it becoming a loaf of bread, I'm sure. It's like buttered bread. It's like, whoa, here, you can have this. All you got to do is speak to it. How did he respond? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was 40 days. He was, how many of y'all know he was hungry? How many of y'all ever fasted 40 days? I tried one time. There's a big one. Lou Engels is calling a big one, I think, this spring. He's calling for a 40-day fast, water only. I tried it, man. Of course, I was working. I was a lineman, so I was doing some real work. I made it 15 days with water only, and it was a cold part of the year. You don't want to do that. Vangel always does it January 1st, but if you're working outside, I don't see how you could make it. But I remember one morning, I had a couple Christian brothers working with me, Jimmy and Bill. And they were all praying for me. They thought I was an idiot for doing it, but they were praying for me. You know, they wanted me to make it. I remember one day, how many of y'all know when you work for somebody, you can't just go into La La Land and read your Bible and pray all day long. How many of y'all know you can't do that because you're stealing? So I come to this pole. It was right after they'd sit down and eat biscuits and gravy and stuff. And I'm like, I drank my water. I come up to this pole and I went. So you've got these things called climbers and they got pointed. So I pushed myself up and I took another step. It was it, man. There was nothing left. Nothing left. I'm just telling you what Jesus went through. He was a man. He was out in the desert, okay? He was a man. He was tempted in every way that we are. See, we just think, oh, he's Jesus. It wasn't no problem fasting. Probably wasn't even no problem getting nailed to the cross. No, he was a man. He felt everything you feel. He was tempted in every way that you're tempted. I'll never forget, though. They said, what can we do? I said, give me some orange juice. Sounded so good. And I drank it, and it felt like if you took a shot of dope or something, it was like you could feel the strength flowing into your body. So he had fasted for 40 days, and the Bible said he was hungry. I'm going, yeah. And Satan comes and hits the most tempting thing on his mind, eat. I want to eat. And he showed him, all you got to do is speak. I don't even know there'd been anything wrong with Jesus speaking and turning it to bread, except Satan told him to do it. That was the thing that was wrong with it. And then he said, he took him up in a high place on the temple. And he said, here, jump off of here, for he'll give his angels charge over you. He was misquoting Psalm or misapplying Psalm 91, wasn't he? Because he will gird you up. He will protect you with his angels. So he saw that. And then he took him up on a high mountain and he said, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Can you imagine? People will sell their soul for $10. Can you imagine seeing all the kingdoms of the world? I will let you win this lottery. If you'll just bow down and worship me. You probably used to listen to some demonic rock groups, didn't you, Chuck? Richie Blackmore did that. A lot of them, they would take an oath to the devil. Yeah, I'll serve you if you'll make me famous. And they were made famous. They got what they asked for. He come out, didn't he? He never came out? Well, I'm sorry. He died, didn't he? Is he still alive? Well, there's still hope for him. Praise God. So the word of God is what Jesus used to defend himself against these temptations. But when you read the written word of God, you need something else. I mean, it's enough, but you need revelation. You need some revelation, because I've known a lot of lost people that's read through the Bible several times and they never got anything out of it. But when you get born again, God puts revelation in your heart that you can read the Word of God, understand the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and apply the Word of God. Acts 13:27, for those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, they did not know Jesus, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath have fulfilled them in condemning him. In other words, what it's saying is Jesus was preached all from Genesis to Malachi. Jesus was preached, Jesus was seen, Jesus on the cross, Jesus in glory, Jesus coming back. Everything about Jesus was prophesied, and these were priests that studied and studied and studied and studied and studied and studied the Word of God. But they did not even know the Son of Man when he came. And then he asked him, he said, who do you say the Son of Man is? And some say, what, Elijah? Some say a prophet? Some say John the Baptist? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So they were scholars, were they not? One came to him at night. His name was Nicodemus. But he had a mind to he had an open heart to receive, because he knew that this man was something special. There's nothing wrong with going to Bible school, but when the Bible school you're going to tells you that Jesus was not born of a virgin, Jesus was not the only way to heaven, Jesus has changed his mind about sin, when you're taught this in seminary or whatever you want to call it, guess what you're going to be when you get out? And that's why the church is so backslidden, because we have started compromising by what we see. Amen? You look at people and go, well, they're nice people. They're good people. They're fine people. Yes, praise God, they probably are, but the way they're living will not get them to heaven. Does that make sense? You know it's the truth. But when you get it over and over and over and over and over and over again, that compromise is pushed on you. And when you get your information off of the television, when you get your information off of the news, you will start compromising. When you listen to what your children tell you is the truth, you will start compromising. Why? Because you don't want to be disrespectful to your children. But you got to remember something. You are the master. They are the children. Is that true, Mom? What do you mean, no? You won't have a long life if you talk like that, brother. I'm just teasing you. But no, really, think about it. Everything's got flip-flopped. You know, as stupid as we say the earth or the sun revolving around the earth, as stupid as that sounds to us, when somebody says there are not only two genders, there's thousands. And they're scholars. They're professors. Oh, well. See, that's what happened to the church a long time ago. The church quit believing in miracles. Didn't they? Not all. I know there's always been a remnant, but the church quit believing in the supernatural. So the supernatural quit happening in the church. But God always resurrects. God always, like Jenny was talking and singing, he opens the wells. He opens the wells of revival. He opens a well so we can jump in and get a fresh touch, and we can come out of that well and be on fire for God. Amen. God tells you to do some hard things every day, doesn't he? No. Okay. You've got the Spirit of God living in you. Amen? You're born again. You've got the Spirit of God living in you. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've got the Spirit of God living in you, around you, through you. Amen? Say praise God for the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's what Paul said, right? Paul said that, and y'all say, oh, no. Praise God, he's given us a gift of tongues. Amen. Praise God, he's given us a gift of discernment. Praise God, he's given us the gift to stand against the tide. Hello? All his disciples, I think every one of them was persecuted except for John, who died on a desert island, man. It wasn't like he, they, did you know they tried to boil him in oil before they put him on the island? Roman soldiers like, we can't kill him. Let's just put him someplace where he can't do any harm. And then he wrote Revelations. I mean, just be obedient to God and he will do mighty things. Okay, so when we were at, praise God, I like that revelation, man. It came out. How many of y'all got revelation during worship? Hold your hand up, you got revelation. Maybe not a word, but you got revelation. So when we were at the Light the Fire Again conference, I got it in my phone notes. I heard two things from the Lord. One of them was, Donna's been wanting a puppy for, oh my gosh, a lot longer than I have. I love a little squirt, but I know it's a matter of peeing the floor and pooping the floor and stuff like that's just going to happen for a while. There's no way around it except lock them up outside, and that ain't going to happen. Boxers don't have no, anyway, but I wasn't even thinking about it, but it was like the Holy Spirit told me, he said, when we were talking about a name, Holy Spirit told me, name that puppy Revival. I'm like, that's not two syllables. We always had, Susie, Katie, Revival. I thought, so I looked up the Greek. I thought, maybe there's a cool word here. No. Maybe the Hebrew. No, it was even more uncool. So I'm like, well, how am I going to tell Donna? She's used to hearing things like this. So I just told her. I said, I think the puppy's name is supposed to be Revival. She's going, we'll see, you know. She didn't have the revelation, see. And so we got the puppy, and the puppy with no name. I think you told the vet Revival, we think. We're not sure. But yesterday we were on the way to a soccer game. And did we hear, we heard a, we were listening to a teaching.
We were looking for one teaching.
Yeah, we were looking for a teaching, but another teaching came up. And he goes, you can't be ashamed of what the Lord tells you to do.
He said, you can't be ashamed of the, he said, if you want revival, you can't be ashamed of the Holy Spirit, and you can't be ashamed of revival.
That was it.
And I was pierced in the heart.
She was pierced in her heart.
I said, her name is Revival.
So yesterday, as soon as we get to the soccer game, okay, you got to remember something. David knows Jesus. David's not walking with Jesus. David's been to Brownsville. David's seen some amazing things. Kelly, on the other hand, don't think she's ever been born again. Went to church a little bit when she was a kid. And some people at the ballpark, they said, oh, and of course, you know, puppies, everybody, crowds come around them and stuff. What are you naming her? What's her name? We went, Revival. That sounds like, what's the big deal? Well, because you kind of like people to think you've got a brain. No, really. Why would you name a puppy Revival? And you know what came to me? Come, Revival, come. Every time we call for her, and they're so stubborn, we'll be yelling it, man. They'll hear us for county block, you know. So I'm not telling you to name your dog Revival. I'm just asking you to obey the Holy Spirit. Don't wait for a sign.
This one man said, what's puppy's name? And I said, Revival. And he didn't say much. And I said, Lord knows we need revival in our country. And he said, she's the hope of the world.
Wow.
I don't know if she was being smart or not. He didn't act like it, but I don't think he meant the dog was, but the revival is the hope of the world. Yeah, so there's people out there that know it too.
So I'm asking you to rename your pet Revival. He didn't ask you to do it. It's no big deal. But I'm just saying, he speaks so clearly, and when you obey him, he gives you more. He gives you more. He gives you more. Thank you for writing that word down, Chuck. That's amazing. That's powerful. But we gotta put our, you know, fear will rise on you, especially when you're thinking about your children or your family. You don't want them to reject you. You don't want them to not visit you, right? I mean, everybody feels like that, right? Everybody does. But when you're taking a stand for righteousness, you really just have, because they can become an idol. I'm saying, how can you say that about your children? Because when you put anything above God, it becomes an idol. When you make choices in your life because of what somebody or workmate, a family, you know, whatever, if you make your decisions in life according to what's going to make somebody else happy, that strengthens the fear of man. And the fear of man never stops. It always gets deeper and wider and harder. Your kids one day will rise up and go, oh, I see. And maybe not. But even if they don't, okay, you can't compromise your life by your mom, your dad, your children, your aunt, your uncle, your boss. You can't do that. Y'all don't have no trouble with your boss, do you? I never had no problem with my boss once I surrendered to Jesus. I just obeyed. Unless it was immoral. So you're born again. You have the Holy Spirit in you, right? When you seek him, he will speak to you, right? Yes. When you seek him, he will speak to you, right? Yes. How does he speak to you? Audible voice? Hey, I'm all good for that. Through the word. Through what? Other people, through a prophetic word? Yeah. Radio shows? Yeah, well, yeah, you're right.
When you put the word in you, if it had been 2 years ago, a verse you memorized, but it's the right time to quicken it and remind you of it.
Think about the weirdest thing Jesus ever asked you to do. Just think about it. Now just go, praise God he didn't ask me to lay on my side for 3.5 years and defecate and cook my food with my dung. And then you flip around and do another 3.5 years on the other side. Or walk around naked proclaiming the word of God. That's Bible, man. And these guys did it. They did it. Think about it. He didn't ask you to do that. But if he did, would you? And by the way, God gave him a bite. And no, I've never done nothing unclean. Okay, you can cook it with cow dung. No matter how far out it seems, if God's behind it, he will show up and something amazing is going to happen. Even if it don't happen in your lifetime, that's okay. Praise God, we get to see it anyway in the big screen. What if the devil is deceiving me? What if he's deceiving? What if I hear a word and it's maybe I'm being deceived? How can you check that out? The sermon and the word of God. He will never ask you to do something that's against the word of God. You know that? He will not tell you if you're a man that you can marry a man and I'll be pleased with it. Now, hey, I know this has hit almost every family. But you cannot, again, you cannot bow down because it gets, did y'all get that video that I bookmarked on Facebook? Did y'all get it? What'd I do? Did I put it on Messenger? Or I think I put it on Facebook. Jonathan Conway. Man, you need to watch that. I'm not even going to try to butcher it because it's a picture of Israel how they fell, the steps they fell, and it lines up exactly with America and the steps we are following in the same exact way. But there's hope. There's revival. Amen. I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Anybody need a miracle, a healing? I was talking with somebody today. God tells one of the weirdest people I know. I didn't know he's been gone a long time, but one of the weirdest people I've ever read about, that the first time I read about him and his works, I thought this guy was crazy weird, and that was Smith Wigglesworth. And everybody told him to do certain things. No, you got to do this, Smith. You got to do this, Smith. You got to do this. He's going, I ain't doing it. I'll have none of it. Won't even have a newspaper in my house. But he had, was it a kidney stone? He had a kidney stone, and when he would preach, he'd had to come change his clothes because there was so much blood on. Smith, you got to go to the doctor. You got to go to get surgery. He's going, no, God told me I will never be cut on. Never. Now, see, that was a word to him. That wasn't a word to me. That wasn't a word to you. But to tell somebody they're weird or stupid because of that and discourage them, no. And one day, God just healed him. Praise God. And they was when he died, they were getting ready to do an autopsy on him because that was the law in whatever part of England he was in. His wife said, nope. He said, nobody will ever cut his body open. And you know what? They did not perform an autopsy on him. So you got a dream. You got a dream, Mike? You got a dream? No, you don't have to share it. I mean, you got something you know that God has shown you that's going to happen in your life. Not a dream, that's probably a bad way of putting it. If you walk with the Lord long enough and seek him long enough, God is going to give you many things that he's going to promise you many things. You got to hold on to it, man. You got to hold on to it because everybody's going to tell you, not everybody, but there's going to be people that's going to tell you to drop it, tell you forget it, you were wrong, you heard God wrong, but you know in your spirit that no, God showed me this. Just like you were speaking, you spoke life into me, Jenny. When God had, this is sacred ground we're on. This is sacred ground we're on. Sacred ground. Sacred ground. God sent us to buy this land 2 or 3 days after 9/11. There was an auction. Nobody showed up except us stupid people. Who's going to buy now? We are. So we told them what we could pay for it. They go, no way. I said, okay, here's my card. Monday morning, ring, ring, you can have it. The doctor that owned this land was a Muslim. He was probably going, I think I better get out of town. It was God's timing, man. It was all God. I remember one day we was worshiping in a tent out here because the barn had burnt down, and God showed me the week before, everybody that's got a bow, bring it, and bring all the arrows you can spare. We just started shooting them straight up, and they were landing somewhere, I don't know, we were down the hill further, but God said, shoot them all. Strike every one of them, just like he told in the Bible, strike the ground. Well, he struck it 3 times. Said, hey, if you'd struck it more, you would have won, right? So God has told us to do some things. And I'm going, well, when's it going to happen, God? When's it going to happen? I need to hear that sometimes. When's it going to happen, God? Where's everybody at? Maybe they're home in bed. Maybe they're out doing something else. Maybe they're working. I'm not talking about people that go here. I'm talking about people that aren't plugged in anywhere. Time is coming. The time is coming. And thank you for speaking that, because I know they get tired of hearing me say that sometime. But the time is coming. Revival is here. Revival is here. Revival is here. Revival! Come, revival! Come on! Come on, revival! Oh, no, I can't. I don't have a tag. Service animal. Never mind, that's another one. You got a tag, Teresa? Well, you know what? I can't get this one used to coming to church because she'll be slobbering and doing all kind of before long. So, Lord God in Jesus, let's stand up. And if you want prayer for healing, let's sing this song together. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. I will humble myself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up higher and higher, and He will lift you up. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. I will humble myself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up higher and higher, and He will lift you up. A broken and a contrite heart, the Lord your God will not despise. A broken and a contrite heart, the Lord your God will not despise. A broken and a contrite heart, the Lord your God will not despise. A broken and a contrite heart, the Lord your God will not despise. He opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He will strengthen the weak, causes strong men to stumble. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. I will humble myself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up higher and higher, and He will lift you up. Lord Jesus, bless them. Bless this flock. Bless them going out. Bless them coming in. Bless them in all they do, God. Let them prosper in all their ways, Jesus. Enlarge their spiritual territory. Enlarge their financial territories, Jesus. God, make a way in the desert for them, Jesus. Make a way in the desert for them, God. Your hand be upon everything they do, and keep them from all evil in Jesus' name. Sireburaba shire kurabare o sana mareya. Mikere kuraba sana mare shuto karabadea. Mishe sute. Miswa kurabasana mareshitea. We love you, Lord Jesus.